Yeah, baby.
You know, really, the truth is I could just pray and go home. That's the whole message. I'm serious. I just had to play the whole thing. Good morning. Boy, it's good to be back. Who wants to stay in Maui for 2 full weeks? Who wants to do that? Yeah. Well, yeah, we had a blast. It was peaceful and beautiful, but always good to be home. Always, funny thing, it's always good to be home. Thank you. Thank you. An update on Marilyn Schiller. She fell off her horse on Tuesday. You know, I always say, fear the fall. And I'm talking about tripping over this, not falling off a horse. Because as we get older, the more you fear the fall, the less. But she fell. And I don't know the story behind it Tuesday afternoon. And we have an update from Pam Van Timmerman. And she wrote this yesterday to Karen and I. She says she's at Harbor UCLA. I saw her this afternoon, a cracked cervical vertebrae, 5 cracked ribs, and a fractured femur. So she fell. And this is what Pam said. She looks well, but it's going to take a lot of rehab to get her functional again. And that little sad face that I've never used in my life, but it's cute. And she says she has a great attitude, though. She's a tough gal. And so you could certainly pray for her, even if you don't know her. She's a sweet lady. She said Marilyn can have 2 visitors at a time, and she loves company. So I suggest 30 to 50 of you go this afternoon. she's in 4 West, room 10A, and she'll probably be transferred Monday or Tuesday to a rehab facility. But she'll be back, and you'll know her when she comes with, it'll be some time. But certainly pray for her just to heal well and get back. And those of you that are going to cowboy up this week, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. So today's theme, prepping to help others. I'm going to make you a prepper today, I hope. And that word means a lot of things, but we'll work through it. Ed Watt was visiting a local department store with his wife, as he did regularly, and they just purchased a piece of luggage and a cooler. And as Ed browsed in the shoe department waiting for his wife to finish the rest of her shopping, he just sat down, and a clerk asked if he could be of assistance, if he could help him with anything. He goes, no, thank you, Ed said. I'm just waiting for my wife, with a smile on his face. Gentle guy. At that point, a man behind him said, I'm waiting for my wife, too, but I never thought to bring lunch in an overnight bag. Dude was prepared, man. Dude was prepared. I don't know. I don't know how prepared you are to do what Jesus really wants you to do. To step up in a world that desperately needs to know him. And maybe there's a lot of reasons, different reasons, why we aren't prepared to do that. Scared, shy, not confident. But somehow, somebody has to do it. And if Jesus lovers, like you're becoming or have become, don't do it, who else will? So today, it's not so much the messages coming at you. It's just what's possible. Somebody did it for you. Whether it was your mama, your grandma, a youth pastor, a children's worker, a CR setting, whatever it was. A fireplace with lots of cute girls around it at Hume Lake. I don't know. Whatever it was that got you in the game. Whatever it was, it's beautiful. We all, every one of us, need to have a piece of that in life. And that's sort of what we're going to get at today. So let's pray and ask God to bless our time. Lord, thank you that we can be here. Thank you that we can touch on truth in this place. Thank you that we can sing about who Jesus is and what he's done and how much he means to us. And Lord, I just pray as we look at truth, as we get challenged from what's possible today in us touching others, impacting others, that you just feed into our lives. And I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, by the way, I heard a part of Kenny's message. It cut out because the sun was up in Maui. And But I saw the first part. I've been looking at mirrors all week, you know, mirrors. I've just been looking. But thank you, Kenny. That was beautiful. I'm going to finish it sometime this week now that I'm back. But I heard some good things about it, so you touched some folks. So we're continuing in our series, Making Much of Jesus, for a few more weeks, and you'll see why as we make much of him. And as we do, it's good for us. It certainly, as you'll see today, could be good for others. And for Jesus himself, he gets honored for the kingdom that we're to feed into and invest in. And it brings honor to God's plan for us, for mankind, if we make much of Jesus in our life and figure out how to do that, our style, our way, with our giftedness, whoever we are, how we're built. Now, our topic is prepping to help others, and being prepared means this. This is what I came up with. When the unexpected happens, we have the ability to manage it. That's what being prepared means. Something unexpected happens, and we have the ability to manage it. Now, that's saying a lot, because some really unexpected things that are painful and tragic can possibly happen to our life in a moment of time. If we're going to be prepared to help others, we got to be able to handle the unexpected. We can't be controlled by fear, or it'll just stop us every time. In life, in general, we know what matters most. Most of you in this room knows what matters most, and it's not my wife to me. It's my relationship with Jesus, and then my wife. And same for her. And when you begin to figure that out, things get altered in your life. Jesus becomes the most important thing in your life. We begin to understand who's in control, because I certainly am not. I'm not. I don't think you are. God is. And when you understand that, and when things begin to happen, the unexpected, you can manage it. You can live through it. You survive rather than go away. He offers so much to us here. If we're going to be prepared to help others, we must help people get to know him. I mean, first and foremost, it's got to be the most important thing. We can't force people into the kingdom. I get that. You can't talk somebody into it. But in your mind, you've got to know if you're going to, the greatest help you could ever be to anybody is to help them see Jesus. I think we all just agree on that. I don't even have to ask you to raise your hand. Today is about impacting others, certainly. Following the hope that Jesus has given to us. And to become good at this, imagine yourself becoming good at doing this in your own world, in your own way. As we've covered the last 4 weeks, once we know, trust, and love Jesus and seek to be him or like him before others, right? That's what we spent a month on. That's where you want to go. That's the progression you want in your life. It takes work. After responding to Jesus in this way, the next step for us, from his perspective, at this point in our relationship, is living a following life out. And as we do, impact will be made. It just will. Now look in your nose. What we effectively do, once we become that person, we know, we trust, we love, and we become him. We live out the dynamic of disciple making. It will just happen in your life. And it needs to be intentional at times, in your heart, in your prayer life, certainly. But it's just going to start to happen if you're really living it. If he's first in your life, he's going to make impact through you. And just imagine with me today, if somebody in a year says, the reason why I'm here, the reason why I'm getting baptized is because of Steve or because of Fred, and you're Steve or Fred or Mary or Jane. Imagine that. Some of his final words to his guys and to us through them in Matthew 28 that we've looked at a lot every time we baptize people. He says, therefore, this is what I want you to do, fellas. I want you to go and make disciples of all nations, everybody on the planet. This needs to be your goal. This is your job description. Now, they were real guys that were disciples. We're different. We've got a lot of job descriptions. You got a lot of them. I understand it's a list. Maybe you're a mom. Maybe you're you're running a company, whatever it is. There's lots of job descriptions. But he says, I want you to go and make disciples. Where you live is what he's talking about. Where you function. He says, baptize them in the name of the Son, name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. This is it. Now, not to bum you out, but who have you done this to? The point is not to bum you out of this, but do you understand? You can do this. Not in the same way I do or a leader of a group does, but this summer, it's the first time in the history of our church, two ladies have stepped up and said, I don't want to stop meeting. One is Janie, who's a sweetheart, and she wants to meet with college girls. She's got a burden in her heart for college girls. And she just started a group for college girls. She's going to invest her time, and she works hard. And she lives with a guy who she's got to work really hard. It's her husband. Oh, I'm kidding, of course. But and then there's Jen, who just wants to keep meeting. And she's willing to step up and lead in a group. And it's just anybody in here can do it. And I don't think we believe that. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping we can break that ice today in some way. A quick definition of making disciples or making a disciple. Moving someone from being an admirer of Jesus, God, to a follower of him. That's it. That's it. And I'm going after you every week, and most of you are already there, which is a fascinating thing. You're already followers, and I'm talking about being a follower. And, you know, if you bring a friend one day, you just want me to be on. You want me to have lots of jokes. You know, don't bring in the missionary to speak, right? That's the great fear everybody has. But how do we do this in a practical way? This is what I'm hoping to get to here, where we help to disciple others. How do we do it, really? Four basic things to make disciples. Number one, be around others while following. Be around others. Now, this is going to seem sophomoric and simple, but ask the question, am I with people? Am I with people? There's a lot of cocooning happening, and not just because of COVID, some of it, but and COVID apparently is coming back in the version of a cold or the flu. And apparently all of us are going to get it over the course of time, and I don't want to make light of it, because it can take some people out. I get it. But most of us, you're going to get the sniffles and a cold and wait a few days, then you can come back. I'm not going political on you. Don't worry. You all got tight, man. You just got silent. You stopped breathing together. Relax, people. I'm not a prophet. I hope you don't get it, okay? I terrify you sitting in a room close together. Somebody sneeze right now on cue. Right? I don't mean to laugh at it. I really don't. Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. You got to be with people. And what I want to ask you is, who are you with? When are you with them? And where? This is the challenge of today. It's not like I'm trying to make you into a people person, but you got to get your eyes up. Who's around you in your marketplace endeavor? And maybe you're a coach of young kids. Who's your assistant coach that you've never known? He may be a target that Jesus is giving him as your target for love and for impact, if it can happen. Am I following his P&Ts, principles and teaching? Am I? Do I? It's the hardest work you'll ever do, to get up every day and say, I want to live out the principles and teaching of Jesus today in my life, all day. I want to have all those fruits of the Spirit running inside of me. I want to be the best guy I can be. I want to hold back my anger when it wants to rage. What does it accomplish anyway? The anger of man never accomplishes the righteousness of God, ever, 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 ever. Check out this, what Jesus said to Peter and Andrew. He said in Matthew 4:19, come follow me. Come on, guys. Okay, I need you. I want you. Come follow me. All right? Three words that changed their life. Jesus said, follow me 101 times in the New Testament. 101 times. He's coming after you and me as well. And he's got a lot of us. Jesus said, I will send you out to fish for people. You're pro fishermen. You make your living that way, and you're really good at it, by the way. Now I'm going to make you different. When the Spirit of God changes our life, gives us a new heart, a new life that can never end, you now are a fisher of men. Now, maybe not like Peter and Andrew. It was a different time, different place. But you need to see yourself as that. You are. And if you're really good at something in the marketplace, you can learn how the art of your way and your life and your giftedness to become just that in the world that you live in. And it's all to impact others, to make disciples. Number one there in your notes, we need to be together to disciple others. I mean, this is so simple. But some people pull back. You know, they get their marriage going or their best friendships, and they just stop meeting new people. They get out of the game. They get kind of lazy butt. A little bit more Netflix, a little less people. It's work to have people over. But it's always good. Well, usually. But it's a pretty simple truth. We must be with people to ever help them. You got to be. Got to give up your time. Loners don't make disciples, by the way. And if you're a loner, I'm not going to make you a people person, but somehow you got to go, wait a minute, what does Jesus want me to do? What does he want me to be up to? Busy people with self don't make a lot of disciples. You might be really busy. You might work really hard. But if it's all for self, making money, doing your thing, creating your world, you're just not going to make disciples. Often when we're together in small groups, it's the best setting for us to learn. Together we learn as we interact, as we dialogue back and forth, especially in some kind of Bible. You know, my associate pastor, you know him, Andy Stanley? He has taught so many of you so much. I'm so proud of him. I need to give him a raise. I really do. I need to give him. I'm calling him. That's it. The first small group, what was it? Well, it was Jesus and his guys for 3 years. That was the first small group ever. And inside that group, there was Peter, James, and John, and they seemed to be pretty special and thought they were at times. They were the inside guys. We need to be together to be discipled and to disciple. It's not just the leader that disciples. It's the group itself. In the CR world, when people get in a step group and they get set aside for a year, they get bonded over time. You can never take that bond away, and you wouldn't want to. In preparation for a meeting in a large city, famed evangelist back in the day, Billy Sunday, a well-known dude, wrote a letter to the mayor in which he asked for the name of individuals he knew who had a spiritual problem and needed help and needed prayer, just in preparation for what he was going to come and say about Jesus and the gospel. He was surprised, the evangelist said, when he received from the mayor the phone book for the whole city. Listen, people, we all need help. And to get to a place where you're humble enough to say, I need help. I don't want to be alone in this Jesus-following stuff and business. I want to be together. I look at Sandy, who, not you, sweetie, but I love you, baby. I love you. Who runs an islands. The best islands in corporate. He's the dude. He's got this whole, I mean, I don't even know how many waiters and waitresses and cooks and all these people. That's his mission field. Now, he's not going to preach Jesus to them. He's not going to come out with a t-shirt that says, receive Jesus or you don't have a job. He'll go to jail. Well, he'll be trying to work here. But do you get what I'm saying? Wherever you're at, people need Jesus, and we're it for them, maybe. It's harder with family, but maybe we'll get into that. In order to impact people, make disciples, we need to be together to disciple others. Number two, following is assumed if discipling is the goal. Following is just assumed by Jesus. He said, come and follow me. That's where he started. If you don't want to follow him, you can't make disciples. You just won't. That's where it starts. When it's real for you, you can help others make it real for them. So in order to impact others, number one, we need to be together and disciple others. Number two, following is assumed. I already said that. We need to be around others while following. Number two, we need to connect with the needs of others. We need to connect. Learn to ask the question in life towards others, how can I help? Now, we're afraid of those words, how can I help? Because that's your time. When you say that, you say that without meaning it, and it can be a problem for you. Because somebody might say, hey, I would love for you to so-and-so. And if you step up, you need to step up. You really do. Number one, this is all about connection and relationship. Discipleship doesn't happen apart from that. This is where good stuff starts happening inside of knowing people. This is what we're built for. Jesus, through Paul, told us in Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love. And this is a high bar, but this is who we're to be. And, you know, as you grow in your relationship with Jesus, what you do is you grow in your capacity to love. That's what's going to happen. It's not going to all be about you if you get close to Jesus, because he's going to transform you, not me, not my words, or a guy like me. It's going to be you. You make the decision. So he wants us to be committed to love. The love he speaks of is a family type of love. It's a unique love, a belonging together. It's fascinating when that happens with me, with people, generally it's guys. I love the gals here, but I'm friends with guys. I'm not friends with gals. I don't have any interest in that beyond you're my sister. We're not going to the movies together. We're not hanging out. We're not having dinner together. I'm strict with that stuff. Not because my wife told me to, but if she needed to, she would. But and hangout time is with guys. I mean, I've got some close relationships with some gals, but it's like 99% phone. And I'll have you stand up if you're, no, I'm just kidding. But it's a friendly kind of love. The idea here is to remain devoted, committed, to have tender affection. It implies intimacy here. And this is where men get a little bit, Jim, you got to relax, man. That I word is too much for me. Oh, it's a beautiful thing. It's what you're built for, to know each other. Nobody can make you devoted. Devotion demands I decide if I'm going to be devoted. If you're ever going to be devoted to loving others, it's going to be because you decide. And you can get pushed by Jesus and the Spirit and a guy like me, okay? But you got to decide. Devotion here defined means showing great love, showing commitment, expressing loyalty, especially over a long period of time. You don't go away. You just keep coming back. The idea of great dedication. And what it does when you get involved in this kind of love inside of relationships, what it does is your life becomes more fulfilling. It's just not about where you get to go or what you get to do or how much money you have. It changes. There's a depth in your life that's not just about your marriage or not just about your nuclear family. It goes beyond that. I love my family. But some of them aren't much interested in being with me. That's okay. I got plenty of people who want to hang with me. I'm not down on them, but, you know, you got to let your kids go. Some of you parents, you're trying to gather them back. Let them go. Leave. Go away. Pay your own bills. You can come back at Christmas and Easter. You're welcome. But some parents love their kids too much, and I don't want to get in trouble here. I already probably am. So we're going to move on. But it's fulfilling when you gain relationships with people that aren't in your blood. Something happens inside of you. It's a brotherhood. It's like if you've ever been in the service or you've been downriver. I haven't. I've just watched guys. I know them. And there's a bond that happens, especially in the world of fighting and protecting each other. And it's a beautiful thing. We're built to make a difference. And relationships is where it starts. Devoted to love is what oils the machinery inside of you. God built you that way. And when you do it, you're fulfilled. It's the simple things that satisfy, not the big items. They just, not that next new car, although I do want a Tesla truck, but we'll move on from that. I don't have to have it. I don't. But I want it. Sandy knows. Connecting with the needs of others. This is about connection and relationship. What ought to happen regularly is, number two, we link up with the needs of others. If you want to be close, you link up with the needs of others. When someone steps up for you or shows up for you, it's a big deal every time. Because we've learned to live individualized lives. We figure it out, what we need, and we don't welcome other people in a lot.
We don't. Philippians 4:19 says this, and my God, Paul says, my God, I love that term. He says, we'll meet all your needs. Notice this needs, not wants. Doesn't say wants, but it's a big difference. According to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Part of how, I don't know if you thought about this much, but part of how God meets your needs is through other people. God's not going to show up physically. We need somebody just to listen to you. He'll listen to you all the time, but it's different than when somebody that loves you shows up. He'll use you. He uses us to encourage others, at times to be generous. How many buses did you take today to get here? Hey, how many buses?
Two.
What is a monthly bus pass?
$35.
You both have a bus pass?
Okay,
I want to buy your next month's bus pass, okay? Then I know a couple guys in here, then the next month, they'll probably buy it. We appreciate you coming from the mission, man, on a bus, and you were late. I'm serious. The $35 does it.
Okay.
Huh?
He was in the coffee bar.
He was in the coffee bar.
Oh, he wasn't late. Sorry, dude. Who's your boss at the coffee bar? I'll talk to him later. Do you see what just happened? Somebody stepped up to protect him from the pastor. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. I love life. Love is what fuels disciple making, not just get it done and diligence and I'm on it. It's about love, baby, all day long. As we make much of Jesus, people need to be experiencing our love. And the meeting of needs to the best of our ability is a wonderful thing in real and definable ways. What happens is when we care about others and their needs, number three there in your notes, we begin to bond in life with each other. And that bond is what is just golden. As we get in tune, if you will, with the lives of others, if you're a musical person, you understand what in tune is. In tune is better than out of tune. With what's going on in life, you know them. Did you know these two guys come from the mission on a bus? Any of you? Anybody here? Yeah, now you do. The next 3 years of their bus passes probably get paid quietly. I'm only doing next month. That's all I'm good for. That's all I'm good for. But as we get in tune, here's what happens. Memories are made because we cared when we show up and when we help. It only happens when somebody's interested. See, we're interested in so much. So much is coming at us via Instagram, our television sets, billboards. It's just coming at us. And it always is gonna. But you got to be interested. You got to ask questions. One guy said, now my dad told me a story about a peculiar fisherman from Minnesota. You see, this fisherman was very well prepared. He knew how to fish. He had everything needed to be a good fisherman. He had poles, nets, bait, and even a really, really nice boat. But the fisherman had a problem. You see, for all his preparation, he never caught anything. Not one fish. Not one. Not ever. You know why he never caught a fish? You know why? The answer is easy. He never went fishing. He had all the knowledge and all the equipment, but he never got into the boat. He never left the dock. And my friends, I want you to leave the dock. You go, Jim, I don't know very much about Jesus. I want you to leave the dock with what you got. Just with a hook and a pole. I want you to leave the dock. I want you to take steps. That's my hope for today. And I believe that's Jesus' hope for you, or I wouldn't be saying it. How do we make disciples in a practical way? Number one, be around others while following. Number two, connect with the needs of others. Number three, deeply value those available to you. Now, I'm going a little bit out on a limb here, but you'll be all right. This is where we ask, who am I walking with? Who am I walking with in life? Who are they? What are their names? Have you ever made a list of the people you care about? People that matter the most to you? Why don't you go home and do that today? Maybe after the PGA Championship is over. Who do I dialogue with about Jesus? Who? Who? What's their names? How many? It's scary to bring Jesus up. I've just learned how. I'm the Jesus guy, so everybody knows. I'm not even shy about it. I'm respectful, but who is it that I pray for? Is it my family? Sure, good. Who is it that I look forward to seeing? I mean, this is your relational world. Who is it that I invest in? Who is it that invests in you? Who? Who? See, valuing is to sort of take the pulse of someone. This idea of deeply valuing somebody is going way, way beyond what we're talking about. We just say love, to me anyway. These are my words. But if I'm going to come down here and take my buddy's pulse, right here. Can I have your hand? Could you be quiet, please? I'm not really going to do it. This is Joe's watch, by the way. It's not mine. I'm not a watch guy. But you know what? I got to come down here. I got to touch him. I can't take his pulse from far away. It's going to take some time. And your time is going to be given up if you're going to figure out somebody's pulse. That's what this relational thing, and every one of you can do this. Sometimes we stay cloistered because of our interests, and we stay away from people because we're scared of them. What if they get to know me? What am I going to have to tell them? What am I going to have to be honest about? The moment you start getting honest in a relationship, you know what happens? The other person starts getting honest. And because you've probably been burned in the past, you just said, no more. I talk way too much. I'll never forget one of the guys that has deeply impacted this church told me one day, he goes, Jim, I don't know how you do it. I go, do what? He goes, you tell everybody so much about yourself. I said, do I? He goes, yeah. He goes, I could never do that because he's a private guy. And I tried to understand. But this is why we connect, folks. I got so much dirty laundry. When you look at the past, and some of you are thinking, maybe I should find another church. That might be a good idea. If you want a holy man, you got to find somebody different than me. I'm a Jesus lover. I'm going to pull you that way. But I know who I am, and you're probably just like me. Your dirty laundry may be worse than mine, actually, because I kind of stopped at 22. I don't know why I'm picking on you. I ought to try to keep you coming. Sarah's mom was helping her prepare for the driver's license test. She was 16. The mom said, okay, any questions, honey? Sarah, yes, I actually don't know what yield means. Mom says, don't worry, nobody does. Hey, people don't want to yield their life to other people. Will you stop it? This is about Jesus. And if somebody doesn't open up their life, nobody else is going to open up yours. Stop being hidden. Yeah, some people are going to make fun of you. Some people are going to say, I can't believe they're saying that. You better start believing it. The truth is, when it comes to making disciples, some have no interest in being available and spending some of their precious time and getting close and knowing each other. When Jesus opens a door relationally for you, and someone wants to learn, someone wants to know you, and makes themselves available, it's a gigantic opportunity to impact. And when you start to think about your life impacting somebody else for the cause of Jesus, what could be more significant for you to do? As we represent Jesus, we need to show up with exceptional love, especially for people that make themselves available. Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, those who have believed in Jesus, holy, and God makes us holy, we don't, set apart for him is what he's talking about, and dearly loved. This is just true of your life. It's one of the two words in the Bible I love the most. Jim Makinga is dearly loved by God, as are you. If you follow Jesus and believe in him, you're dearly loved. If I was ever going to get a tattoo, that's what I'd get. with some big old nasty picture under it, you know, like a lion or something. I've thought about it just to be cool. Some pastors do that. I'm not anti-tattoo, by the way. If you got some, that's not what I'm saying. Let's just go on. Clothe yourselves. Let these lead, he said, with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Let these character qualities fill your life. It's good to know you're loved. It's a great thing. I mean, the confidence that it can give you, the self-image that it can build in your life when you know you're dearly loved by God and you're convinced of it, that you believe this is truth, and it is, and that love is what enables us to love deeply other people. So what are we talking about here? Number one, sight in on those who Jesus puts in your life. Sight in on them. Figure them out. Who's available to you? Who is Jesus bringing your way, or who will he bring your way? We ought to be on a hunt constantly. Who can I disciple? Not so much that I'm the teacher and they're the student, but more about who can I befriend in my life, and who can I encourage, and who can I add to their life, and thus they can add to me. It's not about pitch or catch here, that I pitch, you catch, I pitch, you catch. It's about us playing catch together. You see, number two there, as relationship grows, love can increase. This is the reality of life. This is what happens in a beautiful marriage. It's not perfect. But a steady Eddie, Jesus-honoring marriage is precious to watch. In life, as we connect through meeting needs, showing up, being engaged, building history together, this is why it, by the way, can be so hard when people move. And we live in a moving society, especially Southern California. 25% of you or more are thinking about, where am I going to move when I can? Idaho? Texas? My daughter moved. What are you doing? She didn't come and say, Dad, can I move to Texas? She didn't come and ask me. She just moved. Took three of my grandsons from me that grew up in this church. Michael one day said, Papa owns that whole thing. Michael's a kid. I don't own Jack. If I quit, I might be able to take my desk with me. Somebody might lock it. You have my desk. But it's hard when people move. So when it's hard, understand, you're just a person who cares. Number three, love for Jesus builds deeper connection. The more we fall for Jesus, the more capacity we have to love others. Think of who Paul was. The top disciple maker in the New Testament, arguably, obviously, he made tents to not be a burden to people. He made tents. The great Apostle Paul, the teacher of teachers in Jerusalem, with a big old needle sewing up tents at night, constantly stood tall for Jesus, constantly, over and over again. No fear for his own life. My brother-in-law tells me all the time, he's a smart guy, way smarter than me. And he says, they're coming for you, Jim. I said, what do you mean? He goes, society. He's sort of a redneck, conservative Christian. And I said, bring it on. About this issue and that issue, and I'm not going to talk about them. Y'all know them. But I'm not changing. I'm a boy who loves Jesus and loves the Bible. I'm not changing. I'm not mad at anybody. I'll love anybody. I don't care what you believe. But I'm not changing. Society isn't, there's no shifting sand here. You just got to know who you are. You got to be defined by truth. And then continue to love everybody, and I mean everybody, all day. Look how Paul coaches us to live in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow me. Jump on board with me. Let's go. And let's go together. This is what discipleship is, friends. We don't have to do this thing alone. We get to do it together. We're all in this with each other. This morning I came in, the first thing I said when I walked back out to go to the bathroom, because that's what old men need to do before they come up here for an hour. And that's too much. See, that was way too much. But everybody over 65 understands exactly what I was saying. So I came in and I walked back out and Karen and Amy were there and I says, the chairs are all messed up. Guess why the chairs are messed up today in the back? There's just no aisles, nothing. No offense for those of you that it's all messed up. Bob Kanaga had vertigo last night and this morning and he couldn't come. Well, Bob watches over. When you're gone, when you're not available, something gets screwed up. So I'm really mad at Bob. His stupid vertigo. Because he's an organizer. He's an engineer dude, you know. He's a manager. I love him. Little guy that just smiles. Always smiles. I've never seen him mad in my life. Matter of fact, we need to try to figure out how to make Bob Kanaga mad. Good luck. Good luck. One little caution here, just for fun. It's one of my things. When you do make disciples, and I pray that you do, is don't fall in love with your fruit. I've said this over the years. It's easy to do. And first off, it's not your fruit. You may have impacted them, certainly, but Jesus gets the credit. He might have used you in some way. That's beautiful, but they're not your fruit. Stop it. Stop it. We're trying to build the kingdom here. And some people, what they do is they get frozen in the past. And when you're frozen in the past, the devil's excited because you're not ongoing today. You've been a powerful influence in the past and you live on your laurels. Forget about it. We got today and here on. Whatever it is, God bless it. Wonderful. Now, what's next? Stay being a tiger in life. Number four and last, how do we make disciples in a practical way? Live out what following looks like. Live out what following looks like. This is the wisest thing we can do, to live what you say you believe and to be a Jesus guy or a Jesus gal and know that. You know that, and you can let others know that. Gently, not in a derogatory way or a preachy way. It's just the truth. Ask self, what do I do with what I have? We all have different things. And this is not about money, although it is. It's about everything. What do I do with what I have? Every day. It's like asking, who am I anyway? What am I accomplishing? What are my passions? And should those passions change? And I say today, if disciple making is not in your passions, you're out of line. Now, God's not mad at you, but he needs you. You say, Jim, God doesn't need me. Okay, he wants you. He'll use you. If you do these relational things, it's not fancy. We have two kings, two kingdoms to choose from in terms of how we're going to live and who we're going to follow. God's kingdom versus my kingdom or the earthly kingdom. And this has probably gotten the best of us culturally in life, and we don't spend a lot of time on this, but it's true. And once you're a believer, you're part of the kingdom forever. You can be a good kingdom representative or an average one, but Jesus talks about the kingdom continually. It's one of his favorite topics, and you want to be sure you're a part of it. And to live out what following looks like, number one, this is all about being on point with purpose. That's what today is all about. In Matthew 6:33, he starts off and he says, but seek first. The idea of seeking first is about what we crave in life. What do you crave in life, really? It's very interesting. Whenever you go on any kind of diet or regiment that you want to lose weight, get healthier, whatever it is, sugar's always out. And for about 15, 20 days, you realize you are a drug addict when it comes to sugar. And then you get to a point where you go, you know, if you eat some sugar, it hurts your teeth. It hurts your teeth. Although a little chocolate goes down well, but with a glass of wine. But we're not talking about that, okay? But just over the course of life, we eat so much stinking sugar, it's just frightening, terrifying. We just do in our culture. And Sandy and I have been trying to tackle that together rather than alone. We're doing that discipleship thing. But it's about what you crave. When he says, I want you to seek first something, that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, move towards the Father. Come on, come on, come on. Figure out what he wants and do lots of that. It's not that deep. It doesn't take a above-sea student. I am a witness of that. And just a question, do you crave what God wants for you? Do you crave it? Do you want to crave it? You see, when we crave the world, when our focus is what we want, and our focus is on our dreams and desires, and we got to make those come true, whether they're in God's plans or not. And when we get centered there, we get stuck on here. And when or if we become Jesus-centered and we start listening to him, and you start listening to a guy like me that's a little bit of a rebel with wanting to follow Jesus all out, a little crazy. I understand. You could talk about me behind the scenes. Just do it respectfully. Say, Jim's nuts a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, you know what a Jesus freak is? You know what a freak is? Somebody that overindulges in something. I want to be a Jesus freak. I'm scaring you now. You're leaving. I saw three people. They're going to another church. But when or if we start responding to him and start following him and we start testing this stuff out, we go, wow, this is living. This is real. This is not just religiosity. Jesus is my friend. He's with me. Things can change quickly in positive ways. Jesus continues, seeking first his kingdom. So what does he mean by saying his kingdom? He's describing the path to putting God first, which is seeking what his will is, what God wants for you. Wanting him to rule our life rather than us rule our life. Wanting his authority over our life. Seeking God's kingdom first is chasing down following Jesus. Not only believing in him, but continually learning and falling in love with him, as we talked about. Jesus continues, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. So what's his righteousness? Well, it's all about what we hunger and thirst for. I really want to live out the principles and teaching of Jesus every day for real. It protects me. It keeps me safe. It makes me a good man and a good citizen. It makes me a helper of other people. It makes me do things I might not do if I'm just into myself. I mean, on a daily basis. I don't tell you about stuff I do, but I'm looking for a way to help anybody. I got you next month. But not the next month. Somebody else gets to get. Talk to Richard. He'll take care of you. Especially, he's the boss of the coffee bar. He 2 months. 2 months. Okay, if we're able to have whatever we want, anything, you can have anything you want, what part would righteousness from God have in that list? We've been trained by the world to, let's put something different up there. We don't seek this first. You want to live God's way? You want Jesus to own you? Jesus continues, and he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be given to you, all of them. What's he talking about? Well, you have less worry. So that's where he's going into. God will never let you down. You'll have all you need. You may not have all you want. I may not ever get that Tesla truck, but it is cool. It's a rocket ship, sort of. But I don't need to have that to be happy. I want it, though. But I don't need it. But if you see me in it, I'll give you a ride. But we get to dump worry and we get more satisfied. We got to move. Enormous question in life before we do. Will God be my source of satisfaction or will something else? That is an enormous question in your life and your culture that you build in your world and your marriage and your family. I've got kids that this is not true of. They would not even think about this in the course of their day in life. And I love them. And I've got a kid or two. Don't think of names. I know what you people are doing. You're trying to figure it out. That would be all over this. God is my only source of satisfaction. And I watch their lives. It's fascinating. That's all I'm saying. Number one, this is all about being on point with purpose. Once we get to a place where we understand that what God wants to be our purpose, to seek first his kingdom and make much of Jesus, when we do, we, number two, assist in building the kingdom Jesus set up. And when you figure that out, that's disciple making. We need to be willing to be involved here. You need to step up whatever way you can. I don't want you to feel pressure. I want you to feel hope towards I can make a difference today. Jesus said in Matthew 4:23, Jesus went throughout Galilee, everywhere, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. That you got this place and you got this place. You can have either one you want. And healing every disease and sickness among the people. So He not only taught them about the kingdom, but he also healed everyone of everything. So that's authority. We can't do that. Number three, what we are in reality is we are the seed planters of the kingdom. This is who we are. We are the billboards. We're the commercials, you and me. We're built to surprise people about hope. We're the commercials of what God can do. We're the billboards of possibilities. We show off what Jesus offers people. They too can have what all of us have. We do this all by planting seeds gently. Normally, you don't have to become a weirdo with purpose and personality. In Matthew 10:7, as you go, Jesus is talking to the disciples, as you go, this is about living your life wherever you're at, whatever you do. Move along and work in your neighborhood, in the school, at the grocery store. He says, proclaim this message. Same one Jesus had. The kingdom of heaven has come near, and Jesus is it. We need to proclaim that. Now, you don't go out and say, hey, can I tell you about the kingdom for a minute? Like often when I go to a restaurant, I did it the other night, on Thursday night. A gal came up, and she was a friend of the people we were with. And my buddy, I think he said, like, he's got a question for you. And I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm not going all pastor on her. Matter of fact, she said she was going to come today. I don't see her here. Next week, all right. I guess you know who I went to dinner with now. I was keeping it secret. But I looked at her and I said, what's the meaning of life? And it's always fascinating. You could try that with anybody. What's the meaning of life? Do you want your steak medium or rare? Leave me alone, right? I was going to talk about 1 Corinthians 3, but we don't have time. Verse 6 there in your notes, it says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God had made it grow. You are a seed planter. And you ought to look at yourself like that. Number four and last, ultimately, being a disciple is making disciples. Can we say it that simple? If you're a disciple, it means you're going to make disciples. If you're a real follower of Jesus, people are going to be drawn to you. But you also got to make yourself available. To get the context here, look at Luke 9:59 on the screen. It's not going to be in your notes. But he, Jesus, said to another man, follow me. But he replied, Lord, first let me go bury my father. This whole story. People get really ticked about this one. This seems like a reasonable request to me. Isn't every kid's responsibility to kind of care for their parents in death? The problem here is, or mistake is, by the fella, this guy's dad was not yet dead. He was fully functioning. What he's really saying is he wanted to start following the Lord after his father dies. You see, this guy was into I. He had inheritance issues. If he started following Jesus, he'd be uninherited. And I've known that people that they've faced this. Ooh, it's really hard. It's about money. Everything about money gets serious. See, you guys got silent. You stopped breathing. Brought up money. Wrong priorities mess us up. We often think we can do it all, but you can't. The thing most people have leave behind is Jesus. And we all know it because we've all done it. Look at verse 60 to get in your notes. Jesus said to him, looking him in the eyeball, he said, let the dead bury their own dead. This is brutal. It's a bold statement. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Get busy with what matters. That's what Jesus wants. To close today, look at Colossians 1:12 on the screen. And giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued. Rescue's been all over the music. They didn't know. It was in the song that I played. Rescue is a beautiful word. And brought us from the dominion of darkness, from hell itself, and brought us, transferred us into the kingdom of his son that he loves. This is what God did for you, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So what we get is we gain redemption, we gain forgiveness, and we gain being rescued. Now, don't you want to give that away to somebody? I mean, gently and relationally. I have an illustration for you, but I'm not going to read it to you. It's too long. I'm too long. You guys have enjoyed this too much. It's your fault too, not just me, that I'm late. Let's pray. Huh? Lord, thank you, that we can talk about you, that we can talk about others, that we might touch Lord, empower us to just be relationally sensitive this next week and talk to you during the day and just ask, are you sending this person my way? Is there something I can say or text that'll touch them? Is me giving love away going to bring them closer to you? Let us think like this, Lord. Let us ponder our own ability to love and just give you away in whatever way we can. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, have a wonderful day, my friends.